moved to a second computer and started an international search of her name, and that of Gabriella Picano, a name she never claimed publicly. She typed slowly, feeling her hands shake as she reached the O in Picano, and paused. A cold sweat started at the nape of her neck and down the back of her evening gown, a gown she'd yet to change, even hours after the fundraiser. When she hit enter, she released a long, suffering breath. "He's dead, Gabby," she told herself. "He can't hurt you now." Chapter 5. She was screwed. Before falling into a fitful sleep, she'd found a second account under Gabby Picano, one smack in the thick of Colombia. This one had a steady stream of money coming and going. The infusion of funds correlated with the withdrawals of the larger offshore account, which led her to believe that they were tied. Whoever was playing with one account was playing with the other. Gabby woke with the intention of dragging Samantha into her troubles, only to find a message on her cell phone telling her to take care of any and all Alliance needs. Jordan had been transferred to the ICU, and everything Alliance had to wait. When she lifted the phone to call her brother, she stopped herself. Val had fished her out of hot water once before, a mess she made by trusting the wrong person. If blowing off Blackwell and landing in prison would only affect her, she might consider taking her chances. But it wouldn't. Alonzo had taught her that she could do nothing without it affecting everyone around her. Her trust in him nearly got her sister-in-law killed. Instead of pulling in others to shovel her out of her past, Gabby decided it was time to dig herself out. She brought up the boilerplate contracts Alliance used and started to modify them. 2 hours later, she contacted the Alliance attorney and sent her an email. Before Gabby could shower, Lori Cumberland called. "What in the world is this?" she asked in disbelief.
"It's a contract."
"A contract someone will actually sign?"
"Did I add something that's illegal?" Gabby was fairly certain that every clause that had ever been placed in an Alliance contract was legal. She decided a few other conditions needed to be in writing.
Not illegal, just... Wow, am I reading this right? This is between you and Hunter Blackwell?
The thought of marriage made her shudder.
"That's correct. The zillionaire Hunter Blackwell?"
"Not sure about the zillion, but yes. I need to know if the conditions I added can be held up in court."
To render a lawyer speechless left a certain smile on Gabby's face. "He'd be stupid to sign this."
"Or desperate."
Lori paused. "Does Sam know about this?"
"Her sister is really ill, Lori. She asked that I handle the Blackwell account."
"I don't think that means you have to marry the man. From what I hear, he's an ass." Gabby smiled for the first time in hours.
"An ass that will have me handing it to him if he violates our contract. Is it legal?"
"I need to modify a few words, but yeah. Wow."
"Glad you approve."
Lori sighed. "Approve? I'm impressed. I didn't consider you the shrewd one. Make sure I'm invited to the wedding."
Gabby doubted a ceremony was forthcoming. "I need to get these to Blackwell before noon. Can you modify and send them back?"
"I hope you know what you're doing."
"Me too," she muttered before hanging up.
The tight black dress stopped above her knees. Her black stockings had beads up the back that turned heads when she passed. Tall and slender had always been a gift to Gabby. She used it now by adding an extra 4 inches with her stilettos. Her hair was slicked back in a simple knot. With her back straight, Gabby walked up to the ground floor security, expecting her first delay. When she mentioned her name, they waved her through and escorted her to a bank of elevators. She stepped in and ignored the looks around her. Blackwell Enterprises held the entire top floor of the building, making the reception space larger than the ground floor of Gabby's home. She commanded attention as she walked to the desk. The receptionist offered a brilliant smile.
"Miss Massini for Mr. Blackwell?"
The smile stayed, and the 20-something model-perfect woman blinked.
"Right away, Miss Massini. I'll call Tiffany."
Gabby ignored the roll of tension down her spine.
Walking into the office had been too easy. She turned away from the desk, hoping to hide her nerves. The entire way into the city, she questioned her decision. Then again, Blackwell would probably shred her contract. The quick, steady click of heels slowed as they approached.
Miss Mussini?
Gabby turned and couldn't help but smile.
I'm Tiffany, Mr. Blackwell's personal secretary.
The introduction instantly had Gabby envisioning a very personal position between Hunter and the lovely woman beside her. She was luscious, beautiful, and appeared too innocent to be hooked up with the likes of Hunter. Gabby felt an instant desire to shelter the younger woman from the evil man.
Hello, Tiffany, Gabby managed. Mr. Blackwell is expecting you.
Tiffany turned back into the thick of the office and led the way. Gabby lifted her chin and ignored the glances as she walked through. The sheer amount of attention her presence created as she rounded the corner made it clear that Hunter didn't often have personal calls to his place of work. Somehow that pleased her. Tiffany stepped through a set of doors that opened to a large reception space, complete with couches and magazines, and a desk that would engulf the one Gabby had at home. Tiffany approached a set of sleek double doors and knocked. Without waiting, she opened one and stepped aside. Gabby knew her practiced smile left, briefly. Then she squared her shoulders and walked in. Hunter stood behind a black desk that held a computer, a phone, and a pen. Behind him was a wall of windows overlooking the city. The space was completely masculine, down to the leather couches, the simple art, the bar on the far end of the office. Their eyes met, locked, and he stared. There was a spark behind his gray eyes that screamed of his success by her walking in his door. He'd won, and he knew it.
That will be all, Tiffany. Let me know when Ben arrives.
Yes, Mr. Blackwell.
Tiffany closed the door behind her. He made a slow path around his desk.
I assume you had no trouble with security getting up here?
Gabby approached, set her purse in one of the empty chairs.
The ease of my entrance smacks of arrogance.
Yet here you are.
Could she hate the man any more? Keep your enemies close. Instead of debating with him, she removed the contracts from her purse and slid them across his desk.
I took the liberty of adding a few conditions, in light of our personal situations.
He didn't bother a glance at the papers.
I'm sure we can work out whatever you might have come up with.
So arrogant. You're going to find your condescending words to be a mistake, Mr. Blackwell.
Hunter, Gabby. My name is Hunter.
She wasn't sure what shook her more, the fact that he'd instantly put them on a personal level by the use of his first name, or the fact that he'd used her nickname.
I despise you, she muttered.
He lifted a hand, indicated the chair at her side.
A fact that we will both recognize and speak of freely when we're alone. In public, I expect a reserved wife who accepts a casual touch and even a smile.
What kind of touch? She hated asking.
I won't maul you.
She sat across from him, comfortable with the desk separating them. The despicable man was a stranger. He unbuttoned his suit jacket and sat before her, sliding his chair closer to his desk.
He'd yet to look at the contracts. Why are you really doing this?
I've already told you.
Beggiante.
Excuse me?
Gabby took delight in her ability to speak a language he couldn't.
I don't believe you. Your explanation is trivial at best. It's one of the many reasons Alliance rejected your application.
He lifted one brow.
Yet here you are, contract in hand.
She closed her eyes, sucked in a breath, and calmed her nerves. When she opened them again, Gabby found him watching her. A wave of something resembling concern passed over his eyes before he said,
As soon as the contracts are signed and we're married, I have a team of lawyers and investigators ready to move on your case.
And if they find me guilty? She asked.
That left a smirk on his face.
They'll find a way to exonerate you.
Such an ass. It doesn't bother you to believe you're marrying a woman with a history of killing a wealthy husband and collecting after his death?
He smiled for the first time since she entered his office.
You're stunning in black.
His eyes swept her frame before returning to her face.
But I don't think you're a black widow.
It was her turn to grin. Mating before killing isn't necessary. He laughed when she was hoping to intimidate. I need to work on that.
Before he could comment, the phone on his desk buzzed. Hunter lifted the receiver, listened.
Let him in.
Gabby stayed seated as Hunter introduced one of his lawyers.
Ben Lipton was a personal attorney who'd been given enough information to know that Gabby wasn't in Hunter's life because of a romantic relationship. He shook her hand and took the contracts to the opposite side of the room to read.
Can I get you something to drink, Gabby?
Hearing her name from Hunter's lips wouldn't sit well for some time.
Tea.
He buzzed Tiffany, placed her request. The silence in the office was broken by the door opening and the tea setting being placed on the table. Tiffany glanced between the three of them and left in silence. Mr. Lipton would occasionally lift an eyebrow, glance Gabby's way, then return to the contract. When the man finally finished, he evened out the pages and stacked them on the table.
Have you read this?
He asked Hunter.
That's why I have you.
Mr. Lipton was in his 50s. His salt-and-pepper hair and starch-filled suit would label him as sophisticated. He had kind blue eyes, but if he was in business with Hunter, Gabby believed he couldn't be trusted.
Then let me spread before you Miss Mussini's terms.
I'm listening.
Gabby sat back and heard her words spoken through Hunter's lawyer.
Your contract is for 18 months, at which time divorce proceedings will begin without contesting from either side, or the entire contract is forfeited and no money will exchange hands.
All that was standard.
The agreement is for $24 million, $1 million for each month of marriage, and $1 million for every estimated month it will take for the divorce to be final.
Gabby met Hunter's eyes. The amount was triple the normal contract. He didn't bat an eye.
Continue. As your wife, she insists on a new residence, one in keeping with your current lifestyle, with no possibilities of a previous woman having ever been in attendance.
There was a smirk, maybe even a little admiration behind his eyes.
Continue. If the marriage lasts 18 months, she wants 5 years in the home you purchased before selling and splitting the profits. If the home loses money, you will pay the difference.
There was no doubt now. He was smiling.
Continue.
Ben shook his head.
Any extramarital affair going public, assumed or proven, will cost $1 million per affair.
That made him pause.
Really, Gabby?
I hate being made a fool. He shook his head, rolled his fingers in the air.
Continue. In the event of any criminal charges being brought against Miss Mussini, your marriage will continue until she has been freed of all charges, to which all funds will continue as promised. All legal expenses to exonerate Miss Mussini will be paid for by you.
Hunter tilted his head.
Touché.
She grinned, feeling more confident with every word the lawyer spoke. Ben turned the page and continued to paraphrase.
In the event of any domestic violence, Miss Mussini has the right to terminate the marriage and will obtain $100 million. Said funds will be placed in an account on the first day of marriage and held in trust until the completion of the contract.
Hunter's smile fell, and for the first time since walking into the office, Gabby felt exposed.
I'll never hurt you,
he said softly. I've heard that before. Staring directly at Hunter, she said, Please continue, Mr. Lipton.
In the event of Miss Mussini bearing your child, half of your net worth will be placed in a trust for your child. The marriage can be terminated at any time after a pregnancy is determined, and the home you purchase will be free to live in until your son or daughter reaches 18 or graduates from high school.
Hunter frowned.
That's an expensive child.
She leaned forward, made sure he understood her words. The only way a child would be conceived between us would be through force. I'm assuring my safety, Hunter.
It was his turn to hold her eyes with his own.
Anything else, Ben? Standard stuff. If you both agree to early divorce, the original payout is applied.
Hunter twisted his phone toward her.
Get your attorney on the phone. I have a couple of conditions of my own.
2 hours later, Gabby agreed that if she were to have an affair, The settlement would be half of the expected $24 million. The home would be sold within 1 year of divorce, and any child not his would keep her maiden name and be entitled to half of the final settlement. By the time Mr. Lipton left Hunter's office, the hour closed in on 3. Gabby's back ached from sitting in the office chair, the view from Hunter's office forever burned in her brain. They discussed marriage in terms she never thought possible. There was a day in her life that love and devotion were once a part of "Till Death Do Us Part." She knew better now. There were many examples of good marriages around her, but she couldn't help but question. What didn't she know? What was happening behind the scenes that no one spoke of? It made her sick. The questioning, the wondering, the memories.
"We missed lunch," Hunter said when they were alone.
The agreement was made. The contract sat in front of them, waiting for their signatures. "I don't think I can eat," she muttered. He was silent until she met his gaze. For the first time since they'd met, Hunter Blackwell's shoulders slid, and his eyes softened. His next words were quietly spoken.
"I've never laid a violent hand to a woman, Gabby. You will not be my first."
The image of Alonzo smiling as the needle slid into her vein came from nowhere. He hadn't forced anything on her either. "That's little comfort." Hunter stood and approached as if to a frightened animal. Hadn't she gotten past that? The fear stage and on to the fight? Before he could say anything, she swiped the contracts from his side of the desk, grasped a pen, and signed her name. Tomorrow she would begin the task of removing her name from anything and everything, Alonzo Picano. Today, or at least until she signed her name to a marriage agreement, she would simply be Gabriella Massini, soon to be wife of Hunter Blackwell, the blackmailed wife of a ruthless billionaire, the widow of a soul burning in hell. Chapter 6. 24 hours after she signed the agreement, he called to ask her ring size. The contract was signed and recorded on the 3rd day. On the 4th, a Thursday, they stood in the private quarters of a justice of the peace and exchanged meaningless vows. Hunter didn't bother attempting a kiss, and the judge didn't ask for it. He'd done it. Marriage within 2 weeks of the initial onset of his unsolvable problem. He turned to the pale stranger beside him as he walked out of the courthouse and felt every ruthless cell in his body.
"I honestly wish it didn't have to be this way," he said almost to himself.
"Excuse me?" Gabby asked.
"Nothing."
He motioned her to the waiting limo and took her to her Tarzana home. They wouldn't reside in the same house until Gabby agreed to a home. Having little choice, Hunter walked behind Gabby as she approached her front door. Like Remington had said, the home had an advanced security system, which Gabby disengaged the moment she stepped into the house. The light furnishings were in direct contrast to anything Hunter owned. The pale green sofa and floral pillows were subtle and calming. He watched in fascination as Gabby dropped her purse on the hall table. The table housed the flowers he'd sent. There must have been a look of surprise on his face. "It's not the flowers' fault, you're an ass," Gabby explained. She stepped through the home, leaving him to close the door behind him. He immediately noticed a light on the security panel light up. That's when he noticed the camera under a dome by the front door. There were other cameras and motion detectors.
"Why is this house so heavily monitored?" he asked, as he followed her into a kitchen.
Gabby moved about the space, filled a kettle, and placed it on the stove. For some reason, Hunter didn't see her as a domestic woman, yet walking around the kitchen, she seemed more relaxed than during the drive to and from the courthouse. "The house belongs to Samantha," Gabby explained. "Since she married Blake, the house has been occupied by her staff."
"Women?"
Gabby nodded. "Blake was a good man," he mused. Still, the surveillance felt like more than just a safety measure for a single woman living alone. He couldn't help but wonder if maybe the security had something to do with Gabby's past. He walked around the small dining area, looked out the back window to the modest backyard. Even there, he noticed cameras in the eaves of the house.
Who monitors the system?
He asked. Why do you care? He let the curtain to the backyard drop and turned to find Gabby watching him, her arms crossed over her chest.
You don't have to be hostile, Gabby. It's a simple question.
She relented, pushed away from the counter, and opened one of the cupboards. Blake has a security team.
Of course.
She set a teabag inside her cup, kept her back to him. The simple black pantsuit was stylish and not at all what Hunter thought she'd wear for their court appearance. Not that he thought she'd wear anything resembling a wedding dress, but black? It was fitting, he supposed. Her hair, once again, was in a tight knot, making him wonder how long it was and when he might have the opportunity to see it loose. When are you going to tell me the real reason you needed to get married in such a hurry? She removed the kettle from the stove and started to pour. He wasn't expecting the question, and had no intention of answering it. She'd find out eventually, but he wasn't prepared to tell her now.
About the time you reveal the reasons behind all your conditions in our contract.
She stopped pouring and held perfectly still. That will never happen, she told him.
Then I'll just have to find out on my own.
She glanced over her shoulder and scowled. Why bother? You have what you want. We're married and we'll stay that way for the duration of the contract. He lifted his chin.
18 months is a long time to keep secrets.
Gabby set the kettle down and placed both hands on the counter. Where do we go from here? She asked, changing the subject. He glanced at his watch and then removed a folded paper from the inside pocket in his suit.
I have a meeting in New York tomorrow. I'll be leaving in a few hours.
She sighed, as if relieved, and twisted around to face him.
I expect you to begin the search for the home today. If you don't find something suitable in a week, I'll find one.
Why the hurry?
We're married, Gabby. No one will believe it's for real if you're living here and I'm somewhere else in the same city.
He handed her the paper, watched her unfold it.
Phone numbers, addresses. We should be able to keep a lid on our marriage until I return. If something leaks, call me.
I'm not one of your employees, she told him. He wanted to contradict her, decided against it.
Please.
She turned the paper toward him, pointed at a number. What's this?
The code to the parking structure in my building.
He tapped his fingers on the counter.
What do you drive?
He asked. She shook her head. My car's in the shop.
I'll have one of mine brought here for you.
Was that a grimace? My insurance was canceled.
Your what?
He asked. My auto insurance. It's a long story. Hunter looked at the time.
A long story will have to wait. I'll fix it. Bring you a car.
Gabby rolled her eyes. Do you fix everything with money? Yeah, he did.
And wives.
Was that a smile?
I've gotta go.
She turned away and picked up her cup. I'd wish you a safe trip, but if your plane goes down, all my worries are over. It was his turn to smile.
Judy?
Rick called her name from the open door of his office. Yeah?
Can you come here?
She pushed away from her drafting desk and the project she was working on outside of the office. The desire to move up the architectural ladder was crying out. The familiar wall of monitors and equipment that Rick surveyed filled an entire wall. There were a dozen homes, plenty of coming and going, lots of conversations that they most often didn't listen in on. Judy slid her arms around the broad shoulders of her husband's back. He reached up and kissed one of her hands before clicking into his computer and bringing up one of the houses. The image of Gabby standing over the sink in the kitchen of the Tarzana home looked innocent enough. Then Judy realized the shake of her shoulders. She was crying, which cut Judy to see. Oh, no. I thought she was doing better. Judy looked away, feeling like she was invading the other woman's personal space.
I did, too. Russell told me she had a visitor, so I searched the video.
Rick cued the images, turned up the volume. Who is that? Judy asked, when a tall man walked in behind Gabby. His business suit told her he had money. He looked directly into one of the cameras and frowned.
I'm not sure.
Rick pointed at the kitchen feed.
Notice how Gabby is ignoring him.
She's upset.
Pissed. Listen to her voice.
Why do you care? Wow,
She's spitting venom at the man, Judy said.
Keep listening, Rick told her.
It didn't take long for Judy to realize that the man was a client for Alliance. Then Gabby laid into him. You have what you want. We're married and we'll stay that way for the duration of the contract.
The strange man stared at her and said, 18 months is a long time to keep secrets.
Oh my God, Judy sucked in a breath. Did he just say what I think he said? Rick turned in his chair and lifted both eyebrows.
He sure did.
He pointed back to the live feed and zoomed in. There, sitting on Gabby's left ring finger, was a rock the size of Judy's thumb. She didn't.
I think she did, Rick said.
Judy turned from the monitors and headed for her office to retrieve her purse.
Where are you going? Rick asked, following her.
To talk to her. She's obviously upset. My guess is no one knows what's going on. If Meg and Val knew, Meg would have called me.
Meg was Judy's best friend and Gabby's sister-in-law.
I'll take you.
Judy pushed her hand on Rick's thick chest. No, she's still not completely comfortable with men. I'll go.
I guess it's pizza for me tonight, he said with a grin.
Save some for me, green eyes. He kissed her and patted her butt as she walked out the door.
The doorbell buzzed several times before Gabby moved from the kitchen counter to answer it. She shouldn't have been surprised to see Judy's face behind the peephole, but she was. Running her fingers under her eyes, Gabby knew it was useless. She'd been weeping since Hunter left. The reality of what she'd done set in. She opened the door and tried to smile. Judy's face filled with sympathy, and her first words brought fresh tears to Gabby's eyes.
Aw, hon, what happened?
Judy pushed inside, kicked the door closed, and dropped her purse on the floor. Gabby accepted the other woman's hug and cried.
I got married.
They stood in the hall for a couple of minutes. Judy tried to soothe her over with soft words.
Who would have thought a woman a good 5 years younger would be the one comforting her?
Come on.
Judy led them into the living room where they sat on the couch. Start at the beginning. The thought of letting it all out, every detail, was tempting. But what would be the point? Judy was a direct link to her brother, and if Val found out that Hunter had blackmailed her into marriage, she'd have to contend with his wrath instead of focusing on clearing her name.
His name is Hunter Blackwell, Gabby told Judy. An Alliance client?
Yes.
If he's a client, how is it you married him? Judy asked.
Gabby shook the truth from her tongue.
He needed a wife, fast.
Why?
I'm not entirely sure.
There was no way around that truth. Gabby knew that fact shook Judy.
But he's a friend of Blake's.
Judy seemed to like that piece of information.
Did Sam approve?
Gabby shook her head.
Jordan's really sick. She asked me to deal with Blackwell.
Deal with? Not marry. The image of the Justice of the Peace asking her if she'd take him as her husband shot into her head.
He made me an offer I couldn't refuse. I don't think... 24 million.
Judy stared, open-mouthed.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
They were silent for a minute before Judy asked,
So if you wanted the deal, why are you so upset?
Half the truth came out.
Memories?
Judy grasped both Gabby's hands and held them in her lap.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
She thought she'd loved Alonzo when he convinced her to elope.
The memory was clouded,
where the image of Hunter vowing to be her husband was fresh in her head. Judy ran her thumb over the ring on Gabby's finger.
This is crazy, she said.
Gabby really hadn't noticed. She twisted the ring on her finger now, realized the size of the thing that very moment.
It is, isn't it? It's gotta be at least 5 carats. I don't know.
The tears were drying up, the memories of Alonzo with them.
So what now? Are you moving in with him?
Gabby focused on her hand, lifted it high to really look at the ring.
No, I need to find a house.
What? Gabby dropped her hand, offered a grin.
I told him I wouldn't live in his house, that he needed to buy us a new one.
Judy let out a laugh.
Seriously? Yeah, I figured that would give us some time to get to know each other before we're living under the same roof. So, let me get this right. He's giving you $24 million, a house, and a ring that belongs in a safe and not on a hand? Gabby smiled, thought of the other ridiculous stipulations she'd added to their contracts. I told you the offer was too good to pass up. Wow. Have you figured out how you're going to tell your brother? No, please don't tell Meg yet. I need a few days to figure this out. Okay. Your secret is safe with me. Someone knocked on the front door, ending their conversation. Gabby didn't recognize the person on the other side, but felt safe opening the door with Judy standing behind her. Yes? The young boy, barely old enough to drink legally in a bar, stood at the door, a set of keys in his hand.
Mrs. Blackwell?
The name didn't register. I'm sorry? The kid looked beyond her to Judy.
Are you Mrs. Blackwell?
Judy nudged Gabby from behind. No, that's me. Gabby pointed at her chest. He held out his hand, handed her a set of keys.
Mr. Blackwell told me to deliver this to you.
Gabby and Judy stepped out onto the porch and glanced in the driveway. Judy started to giggle. Does he know you suck at driving? Gabby would have been hurt if it wasn't true. We didn't discuss it. The kid walked to a waiting town car and jumped into the passenger seat while Gabby rounded in front of the matte white Aston Martin. She opened the door, found an envelope on the dash with her name on it. Inside was temporary proof of insurance for Gabriella Blackwell. Chapter 7. Hunter walked away from the executive board meeting with more questions than answers. Someone in his company, or maybe several someones, were embezzling funds allocated for the charities Blackwell Enterprises supported. The numbers they reported to the IRS and the dollars removed from their accounts were off. The accountants in New York were working overtime to find the leak and clog it. The last thing Hunter needed was an IRS claim that he was reporting thousands of dollars more in charity write-offs a year than were being paid. Travis O'Reilly walked beside Hunter as they left the board meeting, his feet moving twice as fast to keep up with Hunter's pace.
That was ugly, Travis said as they walked down the hall. Ugly is what it will be when I find out who is stealing my money.
He marched past his New York secretary and into his office. The bi-coastal business housed very different parts of his company. New York was all about international mergers and acquisitions, where L.A. was dedicated to domestic and new companies. His smaller London office kept the tax man in Europe happy, but the bulk of Hunter's investments were in the U.S.
How long are you going to be in New York?
Travis asked, as the door to the office closed behind them.
I'm flying out Sunday.
Travis tucked into an office chair, leaned back.
You really should consider a partner. Let me guess, you?
Travis was one of the three executives that ran things when Hunter was away. None of them held more power than the other. None of them could take his place.
Only with a massive raise, Travis joked. Let's start with a bonus if you find out who's behind the skim of the charity funds.
If there was one thing Hunter had learned long ago, it was to offer money and people stepped up. Travis leaned back, changed the subject.
How's the Adams Oil acquisition going? Merger, and the L.A. division is on it.
Travis nodded.
You really think pipelines are the way to go?
Hunter moved to the window behind his desk and looked over the Manhattan landscape. The view really was spectacular.
I know pipelines are the future. Oil is useless sitting in one state, and with the conditions of the Middle East, we are ripe for a new oil rush in this country. I hope you know what you're doing.
He did.
I'm out.
Travis stood abruptly, moved to the door.
You know where I am if you need me.
Hunter lifted a hand.
I'm serious about the charity issue.
Travis lifted his chin.
I'm on it.
When he was alone, Hunter glanced at his watch. He'd been a married man for 24 hours. Married. The decision, like many in his life, had been impulsive, a quick fix to a problem bubbling in the near future. And, like every impulsive decision he'd ever made, an expensive one, he'd agreed to $1 million per every extramarital affair. What the hell was he thinking? The desire to be celibate for 18 months was right up there with cutting off his dick. What had Gabby said? I don't like being made a fool. What did that mean? And what about all the other stipulations she'd added to the contract? It was obvious that someone had hurt his wife. The question was who? And how bad? He removed his cell phone from his pocket and decided a call to Remington was in order. It rang 3 times before the man picked up.
Hey, boss. Where are you?
From the sound in the background, a party, including a live band, was in full swing. Not what Hunter was paying for.
Miami. This town is hopping.
He cringed.
I'm not paying you to party. Yeah, you are.
Hunter wanted to yell but kept his cool.
What do you have?
Remington muffled his next words, obviously speaking to someone else.
Who knew nurses liked to party?
Excuse me?
The sound on the phone muffled and then quieted.
Looks like your little sex kitten was admitted to the hospital the same time her husband bit the dust.
Why?
Don't know. She didn't die, and the HIPAA laws have the files shut. Crazy how when you die, those files are open wide. Not so much when you're alive. So you're partying with the nurses.
Remington started to laugh.
My job sucks, Blackwell. Might need a raise. Blood-sucking bastard.
Remington laughed.
I'll be in touch.
The real estate agent drove her to the 6th multi-million-dollar home in Bel Air. Gabby had added the stipulation in the contract as a delay tactic. The house hunt, however, was actually really fun. She limited the budget to under $10 million, which was a challenge in light of the fact that she wanted a half an acre of property. Each property had a redeeming quality and something that wasn't desirable. A view was nice. A swimming pool? Yeah, she missed her brother's island resort. She missed the ocean, but the image of it would sometimes make her break out in an unwelcome sweat. Alonzo took that from her, the love of the ocean. He took a hell of a lot more, but she refused to think about those things. The outside space of one home was too narrow, the next, close to nothing. The kitchens were large, but not something she saw herself cooking in. It was like those who lived in the houses didn't cook, or if they did, it was a microwave experience. Her cell phone rang as she was walking around the back of one of the houses on a side of a steep hill. She didn't recognize the number, but answered it anyway. Hello?
Gabby.
His voice was actually soothing on the phone. Blackwell? He laughed.
Asking you to call me Hunter is too much of a chore.
I haven't decided. She paused, then said, I take it your plane didn't go down.
No such luck.
He laughed.
My pilot is one of the best.
Your very own pilot? I should have guessed.
Yes, you should have, he said.
Why are you calling? She moved away from the real estate agent who hovered close by.
I'd like to have dinner with you. I'll be back in town tomorrow afternoon.
She closed her eyes and pushed away the desire to tell him no. She'd not agreed to a simple date since Alonzo. There had been plenty of opportunities since moving to L.A., but the desire to be alone with a man never manifested. Truth was, she didn't want to now, but Hunter was her husband. For a little while, at least. Fine, she mumbled. We do have a lot to discuss.
We do,
he agreed. I'm looking at houses, she offered when he went silent.
Find anything?
She sighed. Not really. I asked to see property that could be turned quickly. There's not as much out there as I'd hoped.
Who is the agent?
She told him and continued. Beverly Hills is too congested. Hollywood is too...
Hollywood,
he finished her sentence. She found herself smiling. Yeah, I'm looking in Bel Air.
Close to the freeway. Easy drive to the city.
Gabby found herself frowning. I'm not making this easy on you, he laughed.
I'm sure you're not. I'd like to see the house before you make an offer,
he told her. Don't trust me, she asked.
I don't know you well enough to trust you, Gabby.
That she could agree with. Fine, I'll give you a list when I see you tomorrow.
Five?
He asked. Fine.
See you then,
he said. Not if your pilot crashes your jet. Hunter laughed and hung up. Gabby sat across from a stranger. He wore a thin turtleneck sweater, something she wouldn't think was attractive on a sail rack, but on Hunter, it demanded her attention. They'd walked into the posh restaurant, one she'd never been in before, and they were escorted to a quiet table in the back. The host knew Hunter by name and offered a gracious smile Gabby's way. She'd dreaded this dinner since he'd called the day before. Now they sat across from each other without words. How this was going to work for 18 months, she had no idea. I'm not a very good actress, she finally said.
I'm not following you.
One of the qualities we search for with our female clients is their ability to pretend to be something they're not. She leaned forward and whispered, happily married.
Ah.
Men seem better at the task of pretending they love someone to get what they want.
That would be the secret class given in the locker room in 10th grade.
Gabby found a slight smile on her lips. I suppose we were given lessons on how to ward off unwanted hands at that time.
Lucky for some of us, not all of you girls took that lesson.
I'll bet your list of conquests is long. He sat back, smug.
What about your list?
That was comical. You're assuming I have one.
All right, let's assume you don't. Why not?
She wasn't expecting the question, and had no way of answering it without revealing certain truths she wasn't prepared to share with this man. Now, perhaps ever. That's really none of your business.
You'll learn that everything about you is now my business.
You'll learn that a wife is not an employee who can boss around. She saw his jaw tighten, knew there was something he wanted to say that he held back.
Talking with you is right up there with walking through a minefield without a bulletproof jacket, he told her. Is it so terrible that I'd like to know a little more about my wife than what I hear from my private investigator?
A private investigator? Why am I not surprised?
Because you're a smart woman.
She was about to reply when the waiter arrived and told them the specials. Hunter ordered a cocktail and Gabby ordered tea.
Wouldn't a glass of wine help you relax?
He asked. I'm a smart woman, she told him. Letting my guard down around you isn't the intelligent move to make.
He must have done a number on you, he said.
This isn't going to work, she whispered under her breath and reached for her purse. Hunter placed his hand over hers.
Please, let's start over. I'm really not that awful of a man.
You blackmailed me into marrying you. He pursed his lips, the motion almost comical.
Well, other than that, you didn't really leave me a choice.
What would be the point of running? They needed to move out of the kick-each-other stage, and Gabby needed to have a stiffer back whenever her past came up. She lifted her hand away from his and set it in her lap. One of the reasons these marriages work is the two clients actually like each other. We've established that isn't us.
Speak for yourself, he said.
Oh, please.
You stood up to me, offered a laughable contract. I like a woman who takes chances.
Is that right? He smiled, the look not quite reaching his eyes.
Now it's your turn.
My turn for what? He waved two fingers in his direction.
Something, anything you don't despise about me.
Was this a joke? You're serious?
One thing, Gabby.
She thought about it, filed through a dozen things she hated, and found one. You have nice taste in flowers. Now his smile moved higher. When it reached his eyes, he looked younger. And for the first time since they'd met, she found herself relaxing in his presence. For the rest of the evening, they talked about their daily routines. She showed him a list of houses and spoke of the things she liked and didn't like about each one. He took in the information but didn't offer much in the way of advice. He asked that she give him a few days to find something suitable. If he questioned why she wanted a new house, he didn't ask her. They ate their meal and finished with coffee.
We're going to have to announce our marriage soon, he told her as he drove her back home.
I'm going to call my family tomorrow.
Let me know when that's done, and I'll plan the next move.
What about your family? How are they going to take us? Hunter glanced at her before turning his attention back to the road.
My family isn't a part of my life.
She'd remembered something in his file about a brother, no mother, and a father who was alive. The details on where everyone was weren't something Sam had placed in the information given to Gabby.
My brother won't take the news well, Gabby told him. My mother will be livid.
They know what you do for a living, right?
They do, but having me fall prey won't be expected. I'll do my best to convince them I wanted this. They will know it's temporary.
As long as they can be trusted to keep that information to themselves.
They will.
He pulled into her drive and she stopped him before he could walk her to the door.
This is awkward enough, she told him.
All right. We'll speak tomorrow.
She nodded. I'll continue the house search, send you files on what I find. She opened the door.
Sleep well, Gabby.
A pleasantry sat on her lips, but she went with a parting better suited for the two of them.
Pull out in front of a bus for me.
He laughed as she closed the door and made her way inside. First thing the next morning, a bouquet of flowers arrived. The note said simply,
The buses didn't cooperate. I'll try harder tomorrow.
Chapter 8
Gabby spoke with Meg first. Her sister-in-law worked with Sam as well. She knew the details of their work, and if there was someone who could buffer the information for her brother, it was his wife.
I signed a contract, Gabby told her after they exchanged pleasantries and talked about the weather.
What kind of contract? Meg asked. Then she barked, No, you didn't.
I did. We were married last week.
What? Why?
Oh my God, your brother's going to shit.
Leave it to Meg to blurt out the truth.
It's just a contract, Meg, a year and a half. Val won't have to worry about taking care of me. The money is huge.
Your brother doesn't give a crap about the money. You don't either, so don't even try and pass that off as the reason you did this.
24 million?
Oh. Meg hesitated.
And a house.
Really? Gabby was happy in her current home, but it sounded like Meg understood the bigger picture.
It's a year and a half. Not a big deal. There was no way Gabby was going to reveal any of the issues with insurance claims and offshore bank accounts.
Who is it?
Who is what?
Meg snorted into the phone. The husband. You know, the guy you married.
Sorry, Hunter Blackwell? A friend of Blake's, actually.
Well, maybe not a friend, but it sounded good and might ease some of the trouble Val was bound to make.
I'd try and talk you out of it if you hadn't already done it, Meg said, which is why I waited to call. I need to move on.
Okay. Moving on doesn't mean getting married to a stranger. How about a date? Have you even been on one since?
There was no reason for Meg to voice since when. They both understood the question. I don't want a date. I don't want that in my life, Meg. This is easier. People will think I'm normal and I can move on.
Beg to differ with you, Gabby. But it's perfectly normal for you to tell guys to bug off after what you've been through. But getting married instead of dating isn't exactly a sound act.
There's nothing remotely romantic about our relationship. It's all business. Trust me.
I have little choice, don't I?
It's my life.
Gabby heard Meg muffle the receiver of the phone. Well, look who just walked in.
Val?
Yeah. Gabby closed her eyes.
Okay, wish me luck.
All the luck isn't going to make this easy.
Valentino Massini was a self-made man, owned his own island with an exclusive resort he built from nothing. The sound of Val's voice made the knot in her chest tighten.
The look on Margaret's face tells me there is trouble. What is it, Tesoro?
No trouble.
Not if you removed the facts. She slowly delivered the information she needed to.
I signed a contract. The marriage is temporary. Yes, we've already gotten married. No, I'm not crazy.
I know you're not pleased, Val. Just try and understand I needed to do this.
Her brother's silence sliced through her.
What is this man's name?
Val's question was cold.
Hunter Blackwell.
Her brother's voice softened to tell her he loved her. Then he cut the conversation short.
Meg took up the receiver and reported that Val had opened a bottle of whiskey.
I'll talk to him, Meg said.
I really am okay, Gabby told her. We're just worried.
I know. I'm sorry for that.
They said their goodbyes and Gabby sent Hunter a text.
My family has been notified.
Gabby's text arrived at 8 in the morning. Hunter spoke with the real estate agent during his lunch, and Tiffany was sitting in his office a hair after 4:30, working on a guest list for a special announcement for later in the week. Thursday, a week from their actual wedding, would be perfect. And then he was taking the weekend off.
And what announcement is this?
Tiffany asked as she jotted down notes on his expectations of the event.
I didn't think the Adams agreement was solidified.
It's not business, he told her. It's personal.
Tiffany stared. You don't hold personal events.
I do now.
The portable phone in Tiffany's hand rang. She answered it.
Mr. Blackwell's office. Hold on.
Tiffany dropped the phone.
Mr. Massini to see you?
Mr.? Gabby's brother. That didn't take long. Tell him to come up.
Tiffany told security and stood.
We will need privacy, Tiffany. Please hold my calls.
Hunter didn't have a sister and couldn't imagine how he would react if he'd found out his had agreed to a marriage for money.
Not well, he decided.
Diffuse and deflect. Assure her safety. Smooth it over.
The man walking into his office could blow so much.
Valentino Massini wasn't a small man. He wore a suit, ruffled and worn, after what must have been a lightning flight across the country. His dark eyes held a death stare that would intimidate most. Hunter found strength in the other man's gaze and held it. Tiffany quietly walked out of the room, leaving the two of them staring at each other.
Mr. Massini?
Hunter didn't offer a handshake.
Why Gabriella?
Just business, much like his sister.
Hunter dropped his hand.
She said yes. Gabby would never do this willingly.
Maybe the brother knew more than most.
I assure you she did. Your assurance means nothing.
Valentino took two more steps into the office, kept his voice deathly low.
She doesn't need your money, doesn't need your home, and doesn't trust men. Her agreeing to your contract is completely outside of her character. Perhaps you don't know your sister as well as you think.
Massini clutched his fists at his sides. For a moment, they simply stared at each other. Hunter was about to assure the man that Gabby was safe with him, when his temporary brother-in-law delivered a threat Hunter hadn't seen coming.
If you hurt her, one hair, I will kill you.
Kill? Not come after you, make you regret it, but kill?
Don't you have a new wife that would be disappointed if you landed in jail for murder? My wife would be standing in line to finish the job should I fail,
Massini told him,
and she's an excellent shot.
The hair on the back of Hunter's neck started to rise.
You have a lot of nerve coming into my office and threatening me.
The other man looked as if he was ready to charge.
My sister may be an easy target, but I am not.
Hunter opened his mouth to counter and heard voices beyond his office door. Gabby sailed into the room, her eyes brushing over his before they landed on her brother. Her hands were in the air, her voice on fire.
What are you doing here?
She yelled. Tiffany stood back, eyes wide.
Do you really think I wouldn't come?
Massini yelled back.
What's done is done, Val.
Gabby glanced around the room and switched languages so fast it took Hunter a minute to realize she had. She said something to her brother in a heated tone. He yelled back, just as heated. Hunter was lost. Italian wasn't a language he'd cared to learn. Perhaps it was time he hired a tutor. He exchanged glances with Tiffany, who kept her distance but watched. Gabby argued something and moved to Hunter's side of the room. That's when he realized her hair was down. Her hands flew, her hair flew. She wasn't happy her brother was there,
But unlike the quietly angry woman she was with him, with her brother, she screamed and yelled. She was incredibly beautiful this way, unleashed. She said something with the name Alonzo, and Mazzini abruptly changed his tone. Hunter didn't understand the words, but Mazzini's anger started to fade. That's when Gabby lifted her left hand and placed her right one on Hunter's arm. "You're too late," she said in English. "We're already married." Mazzini spit out one more string of Italian before running a hand through his hair. The silence in the room was broken by Tiffany. "You're married?" "So much for keeping things quiet until Thursday."
"That's all, Tiffany," Hunter said, dismissing her.
Gabby grasped the ends of her hair and pulled it over her shoulder. "Go home, Val. Live your life and let me live mine." Val shook a hand in the air.
"One hair, Blackwell. One hair."
Before taking his leave, Val pulled his sister into a desperate hug, and all the anger seemed to simmer away. Well, between the two of them, in any event. Mazzini shot daggers with his eyes, killing Hunter where he stood.
"I love you, Tesoro. You know where to find me."
Then he left. Gabby collapsed in his office chair, and her shoulders folded in. For a few seconds, Hunter thought he had a crying woman on his hands. Then he realized she wasn't weeping. She was laughing. He leaned against his desk and felt a chuckle deep in his gut.
"That was very entertaining."
She started laughing harder, and it was impossible to sit there without feeling it grow and erupt inside him.
"He threatened my life," Hunter told her.
Gabby hiccuped, wiped tears from her eyes. Hunter laughed.
"It wasn't funny."
She was doubled over now, finding the humor for the both of them. He walked to the private bathroom in his office and brought her some tissues. She thanked him, wiped her face, and continued to laugh. "If my mother..." She started to laugh again. "My mother shows up, you might want to duck."
"What? She'll throw a chair at me?"
"Let's hope that's all." Hunter watched as Gabby took hold of her laughter. She was radiant in her designer jeans and button-up shirt. The loose hair flowing over her shoulders looked like silk. No wonder her brother was so protective of her. He must have had his hands full watching over her all her life. The men must have flocked, like ducks to a pond.
"Do you always fight like that?"
"In Italian?"
"That and the yelling."
Gabby shrugged. "It was a fight. He shouldn't have come, though it warms my heart that he cared enough to do so." Hunter shook his head.
"I'll never completely understand women."
"I would hope not. Where would be the mystery in life if we understood the opposite sex completely?"
"Mystery should be about the prize in the cereal box, not a question as to what weapon your family is going to come at me with."
That had Gabby laughing again. "Well, if you'd just jump in front of a bus... we wouldn't have these concerns, now would we?" She made him smile again as she stood to leave. "I ditched the real estate agent. Probably should get back to the search."
"I'll walk you out."
"That isn't necessary."
"By now, most, if not all of my office staff, has heard of our marriage. Letting you leave alone not only speaks of trouble, it will suggest the rumors are wrong. We're married, and it's time to practice some of your acting skills."
She offered a short nod, and to her credit didn't flinch when he placed a hand to her back and walked her out of his office. Tiffany lowered the phone and stood as they walked by. Hunter didn't spare a glance, where Gabby offered a smile and silently walked beside him. It was close to 5, but it didn't seem any of the staff left even a minute early. Hunter ignored the looks and continued to the elevators. "Everyone is staring," Gabby whispered close to his ear.
"They're all trying to figure out who you are. Hold your head up."
She stiffened her spine and walked into the elevator. They were silent beside the other passengers as they slowly made their way to the ground floor of the building. Still, eyes lingered. He felt them, knew Gabby did too. He noticed his car parked with the emergency lights flashing. The Aston suited her. Elegant. Classy.
"Mr. Blackwell," the doorman moved to the car. "I was about to call your office." "No need, Benny. I assume you've met."
Hunter looked between Gabby and the doorman to the office. "Not really. I ran in," Gabby told him. Hunter moved closer to the woman at his side and smiled.
Well then, Benny, this is Gabriella Blackwell, my wife.
Surprise took over the irritated look on Benny's face.
Feel free to have the valet take care of the car in the future.
Benny nodded.
Yes, sir.
Hunter walked Gabby around to the driver's side and opened the door. When she attempted to move around him, he blocked her path.
Try not to jump, he whispered.
Excuse me? Using the hand lingering on her back, he pulled her close and lowered his lips to hers. Shock registered in her eyes. She couldn't back away. The car was there to stop her, but she didn't push. He kept his hold loose. Didn't want to scare her. Her full lips were soft. The scent of her skin and the exotic floral aroma of her hair were something he'd think about long after she left.
Relax, Gabby.
Hunter felt her effort, watched as her dark lashes fluttered closed. He placed a hand to the side of her face and tilted her head back. Her lips parted enough for a brief intoxicating taste. The tight rein of control Hunter always had on his emotions, his desires, started to unwind. He pulled away, almost as abruptly as he'd begun their kiss. Their eyes locked. Gabby sucked in her bottom lip. Hunter ran his thumb over her chin, coaxing her lips apart.
I'll call.
Her throat constricted with a swallow, and she slid out of his arms and into the car. Hunter moved to the curb and watched her pull away. Was it awful? Meg asked over the phone. Gabby called her the minute she pulled into the parking lot of the real estate agent's office. I'm just happy Hunter doesn't understand Italian. Val threatened bodily harm with a half a dozen weapons.